It's the spring of 1517. You're on your way to the market. You hear a man crying aloud about indulgences for the building of St. Peter's in Rome. You hear this man selling indulgences, and you hear him say, "As soon as a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs." He is selling what's called indulgences, the monetary form of absolution and of temporal sins. And in this case, the way to buy your dead relatives out of time in purgatory. A few short months later, the 95 theses that would become infamous or famous, depending on how you look at it, would be nailed to the church door at Wittenberg by Martin Luther. Grace by this point has died the death of 1,000 cuts and 1,000 theological qualifications. No matter how much we gesticulate and posture, no amount of insistence and Latin terms would at all change the meaning of the term grace. Grace is still grace by any other name. And works are never good news unless they are the works of Christ. Disclaimer. While indulgences were outlawed in 1567 for salvation and because of their abuses, they are still available for sale today for the remission of temporal guilt and sins as a form of penance. Welcome to Gospel Grit, where as always we seek to apply the Word of God to the people of God for the glory of God. Let's jump right into this today. Canon 9 of the Council of Trent from the year 1547, in January of that year. This is the Roman Catholic Church's official declaration and response to the Reformation. Quote, "If anyone says that the sinner is justified by faith alone, meaning that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to obtain the grace of justification, and that it is not in any way necessary that he be prepared and disposed by the action of his own will, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed, let him be damned, let him be consigned and conscripted to hell." That was Canon 9. This is Canon 11. Quote, "If anyone says that men are justified either by the sole imputation of the justice of Christ or by the sole remission of sins, to the exclusion of the grace and the charity which is poured forth in their hearts by the Holy Ghost and remains in them, or also that the grace by which we are justified is only the goodwill of God, let him be anathema." Again, that's the Council of Trent. I'm going to read that last little bit again. "To the exclusion of grace and the charity which is poured forth in their hearts by the Holy Ghost and remains in them, or also that the grace by which we are justified is only the goodwill of God, let him be anathema." Guys, I want to say here at the outset, there's nothing casual, trivial. There is nothing whatsoever to do as far as making bones about this. I don't want to hem-haw around this. Thank you guys, first of all, for making the video so wonderful last time. So many views, a lot of comments, basically none of them positive. Got some thumbs up and got some thumbs down. I understand that I have swatted the proverbial Roman Catholic hornet's nest, and I don't take that back. In fact, I want to double down and make clear in this episode of Grace Alone, Sola Gratia, that it only gets worse from here on out. The perverted view of the Roman Catholic gospel, you know, horns and teeth, taking the gloves off. I want to be as crystal clear as possible. The perverted view of grace in the Roman Catholic system distorts both the radical fallenness and the nature of man, as well as the holy character and nature of God. The Roman Catholic system and their gospel fundamentally gets wrong the nature of who man is and the nature of who God is. It's my belief and my firm conviction that if you don't know who God is, you're never going to be able to define man in a biblical way in relation to God because you've got him wrong. Let me remind you, listeners, that a perversion of the gospel, no matter how wonderful, no matter how great your view of charity and human works are, your view of morality, your biblical morals that we hear trumpeted over and over and over, no matter how much your church is in line with biblical principles, no matter how morally upright the people are who work in your clerical circles, No matter how you stand against the culture war, no matter how much you oppose drunkenness, no matter how much you oppose abortions, no matter how much you oppose same-sex marriage, all of it is totally and utterly irrelevant if you distort the view of the gospel as taught by the Bible. A compromise of said gospel, and this is a massive issue, constitutes a false gospel, a false religion, a false Christ, a false hope, a false salvation, and ultimately an eternity in hell. I want to make this crystal clear for you detractors who watch this video and for you people who are quote unquote on my side or you're trying to learn about this issue. The whole reason that I'm making this series and why I'm so passionate about this today is simply because there is no such thing as fence sitting when it comes to this issue. We can argue about the sacraments. We can argue about works. We can argue about how we go about doing clerical procedures and ecclesiology, and we can argue about the end times. We can argue about all kinds of things. This is a matter of the gospel. To believe the Roman Catholic gospel truly as defined by Rome, Council of Trent, before and after the Council of Trent, is damnable heresy. If it wasn't clear last week, and I sure hope it was, this is no mere dispute over any of the theology, right? This is light and darkness. It's Christ and Antichrist, the Pope, and we'll get to him next week. This is life and death, and it's a matter of heaven or hell. You guys who are commenting, you Roman Catholics who are commenting in these videos, most of what you're saying is absolutely, utterly irrelevant to the topic that's being addressed. It does not touch the gospel. You guys are attacking sola scriptura. You're making fallacious and ridiculous arguments that don't touch the heart of the gospel. It's about authority, and I agree with you that when we get to sola scriptura, it's going to be all about authority. But the matter of grace and the matter of faith determines every single theological outcome we have from this point on. What you believe about grace determines everything else. What you believe about salvation and faith alone, or your lack of faith alone, determines everything else. Okay, if it's of no value to argue over semantics, it's no value to argue over any of these things. This series is not about secondary issues. So if you would like to comment and disagree with me on this video, first of all, absolutely do that. Second of all, listen to the video. Third of all, if you have a problem with what I'm saying, respond to what I'm saying. Make your own video. Say something valid in the comments, not a whole bunch of papal garbage that we regurgitate for the sake of clickbait and for the sake of sounding like we're smarter than someone else. You've got a channel, make a video, make a response video to this, or say something intelligent in the comments, but keep it polite and respectful. Okay, this is not, we're not just disagreeing. Okay, everything about our view of the gospel and therefore our view of the God of the gospel is fundamentally different. We may use the same terms, but we do not agree. There is no peace with Rome. There has not been for 500 years. There's not going to be until you guys repent of your false gospel. That's just how it is. And I want you to do that. I want you to repent of your false gospel. I want you to come to the real Jesus. I want you to believe in true grace. And I want you to believe in true faith. But if you're not going to do that, then you are going to be an enemy of salvation. And you're going to be an enemy of the true Christ, the true gospel, true faith, true grace, true salvation. And you stand in people's way. Let me ask you, listeners, you guys who are sensible, who listen to this channel, and there are so many of you, and I thank you so much for listening to this channel. Let me ask you a question. Seriously, think about this. What is the point of believing in a quote-unquote gospel that is so damnable and pernicious, so horrific and false, so destructive in its conclusions and logical outworkings that even if it was true, it literally would not matter because the gospel of the Roman Catholic system, even if it is true, still results in damnation. It still results in hell because it cannot save you. Everything about it is unbiblical. Everything about the view of all of these sacraments, which we'll get to here in a second, is absolutely not at all biblical, but it's also damnable. It cannot save you. You guys need to repent and believe the true gospel. You guys who are in the Roman Catholic system, who have showed up on my channel, you guys who watch this one maybe, You guys have got to believe the true Christ, the true gospel, according to scripture, not according to tradition and all of the mound of historical interpretations that you guys go and you do contradict yourself oftentimes. Problem is, you can't officially do that because of papal infallibility and because of speaking ex cathedra and because of papal bulls and because of councils and because scripture is equal, as we'll get to in a couple of weeks, with tradition. You guys have holy tradition and holy interpretations. And because of that, you have a problem. You have a huge problem, one that simply cannot be waved at and dismissed. We cannot simply tip our hat to all of the massive contradictions. Even if the Roman Catholic system is 100% true as advertised, we are all damned. I cannot say that strong enough. I cannot emphasize strongly enough to you Protestants, evangelicals, fundamentalists, Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Atheist, it doesn't matter. The Roman Catholic gospel doesn't actually matter whether it's true or false, because if it's true and if it's false, the same outcome is in both camps or in both positions. Damnation. It's not good news. There's nothing about the Roman Catholic gospel that is good news. Everything about it is just paganism mixed with Christian terminology and theology. Everything about it. It's about exalting man. And let me jump into this about grace. Think hard about that question as we go forward. What even matters? What even matters if the Roman Catholic system is true? Everything I'm saying is wrong. Let's say I'm totally inaccurate about all this and everything the Catholics believe is true. My contestation, what I add and put forth, is this: it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter at all. If the Catholic gospel is true, we're all damned. If it's false, hopefully the Roman Catholic view is wrong and the Protestant view is true. But if it's true, we're all damned. And if it's false and theirs is the only gospel and it's just, we're all lying, we're also damned. It doesn't matter. It's not good news and it's not grace. In the Roman Catholic system, grace is a substance. Okay, I said this last week. It's not that grace is something that's done for you by God instead, or by Christ specifically, but it's made available to you by the work of Christ. It's tentative, right? It's meant to be applied and tended to. I use the example of a garden before, right? Catholics don't mean grace when they say grace. We say grace at prayers and they have the graces of the sacraments that are infused into the soul. That's not what they mean, Protestant. When they use the word grace, they don't mean the biblical term of grace, okay? At least they don't mean what we're going to address here when it comes to salvation, the word charis, the Greek word for grace. They don't mean what the text means, say, of Ephesians 2:8. They don't mean that at all. When we speak of grace, what we're talking about most of the time, not all of the time, what we're talking about is the work of God, the efficacious work of God done on our behalf, specifically, of course, in the Reformed view, that is then applied to the sinner. It is full and it is final. The view of grace, that is the evangelical Protestant view, is something that God does. I'm going to call this, for our sake, potential grace versus definite grace. In the Roman Catholic system, grace is infused, right? Grace is imputed in the Protestant system. In the Roman Catholic system, the way we talk about grace is that it's potential. It's given there. You have to tend to it. You can kill the grace of justification in your soul by things like mortal sins. And the Protestant view, the biblical Protestant view, and there are plenty of non-biblical Protestant views about endurance and perseverance and things like that, is that it's full and final. It's not your work. It's faith in the finished work of Christ. The only work necessary is his work. For the Roman Catholic system, it is your works of faith cooperating with the grace of justification through the sacraments. Okay, I said it a second ago. The Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, means many things in the New Testament, and it's used in many different ways. Okay, so we'll dig into that. So Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace, charis, you have been saved. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that no man may boast. Right? Ephesians 2:8. By grace, by the unmerited finished, completed work of Christ on the cross applied to your account, imputed and reckoned to you. That's the way Paul's using that word, charis, right? Earlier, he talks about grace and abundance, and he talks about how we have the grace of, you know, at the opening of every letter, basically, every one of his epistles. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father be with you. May the grace of the Holy Spirit. That's not what he means here. Okay. In Ephesians 2:8, for example, it's one of two places that it's used. I believe Ephesians 2:5 is the other time it's used in this context. Grace is not some infused work. It's not some infused force or substance. The Roman Catholics are wrong in the way they define grace. The grace they talk about is not grace. It is not good news. I cannot say that enough. Okay. So they believe in a substance. The Protestant view is that grace is God's work, right? It's God's work for man at the cross applied and reckoned to our account. Okay. So now let's talk about the need for grace, right? This is one of the big issues, it appears to me, that we fundamentally disagree on. And by the way, there are many different groups within Protestantism, and you guys like to point that out. You Roman Catholics who show up, you like to point out the fact that there are many different views and many different interpretations of Scripture, and we're so fractious and we're fractured in everything that we do, the way that we understand grace and the way we understand salvation and how we interpret the spiritual gifts and how we interpret eschatology and on and on and on. No matter what, we have 1,000 different views, and you are right, and that's not good, and it's not valuable. There is one proper interpretation of Scripture, and that's how God meant it when he wrote it. I agree with you on that point. I will grant you that. There are far too many denominations. There are far too many interpretations. There are far too many issues, but those issues are inside of the fence of orthodoxy, where we can safely disagree with one another, although one is right and the others would be wrong, where we can safely disagree with one another. The Roman Catholic gospel, which is what this video is about, is that you guys believe a false gospel. The gospel that then ironically turns around the anathema, the damnation to the Roman Catholic parishioner. You are preaching a repulsive, repugnant, death-inducing gospel, a false hope. Can't say it strongly enough. So when we talk about man's need for grace and we talk about who man is, right? The Catholic view is that man is bad. They would affirm original sin, right? When it comes to grace, they would affirm original sin, and they would say that man needs to be conformed into the image of Christ, but that happens through the sacraments. It's sacerdotal, that through the process of the sacraments, the 7 sacraments, that we are slowly infusing grace and cooperating with grace into our soul bit by bit by bit, right? And so because of that, we have views that are fundamentally different, because yes, they would quote Ephesians 2:8-9, and yes, they would quote Ephesians 2:1-2, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But the truth is, they don't actually mean dead in the sense that they can be helped, because you can help yourself through the works of applying the graces of the sacramental system to yourself, right? That what we're really saying is, that man is bad off, that he's sick, he's twisted, he's drowning, but he is not drowned in the sea of sin. He can apply the works because of what Christ has done, because of what Christ has done at the cross. He can apply the grace of the sacraments to himself to continue to infuse that grace into himself and abide with it perpetually, filling his soul up with the graces. The grace not only of justification, but the graces that enable sanctification. This is how they define it, right? Our view, my view, let me speak for myself, my view of the interpretation of, say, Ephesians 2:1, you know, through 9 and 10, I guess, is that ultimately, when it says we are dead, right, that Thanatos term, like Thanos, you know, with Marvel Comics, Thanos is where we get the Greek word death, right? So when Paul says we are dead in our trespasses and sins, or we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he doesn't mean something else. He directly and deliberately means dead. There is no qualification. There is no way to see that in a different manner or way. He means we are dead. Okay. And because we start out with a faulty view in the Roman Catholic system, because the system starts out in a faulty view of who man is, because we're, again, We fundamentally believe God is not altogether holy like he actually is, and so we can approach him through sacraments that have been fabricated and created to infuse grace into the heart and soul of man so that he can slowly cooperate with these graces to make himself acceptable to God. Because no matter how bad we are, we're not bad enough to be outside the reach of the sacraments. We've got venial sins, we've got mortal sins. All of this is just simply because you don't believe grace to be good enough. You don't believe man to be bad enough. And in the Roman Catholic system, you don't believe God to be holy enough. That's ultimately what the problem is that you guys in the Roman Catholic system do not understand how pervasive sin is. You guys deny, yes, you say original sin, but you deny total depravity. You deny the fact that we are wretched to the core and that there's nothing left good within us. You guys deny that, and you do so at your own peril. You lift yourself up, and in the process, you drag God down to try to make them somehow even. And oh, of course, you would never say that. You would never say, oh, we want God to be dragged down from his high and lofty throne. You claim that you worship God. But the problem is, you guys do not understand what the Bible says about sin. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him to me. The deadness of sin is not just in his inability, but the deadness of sin, according to the New Testament, over and over and over, is that not only do you not find the ability within yourself to come to Christ, but you don't find within yourself the desire. Romans 3, there is no one who seeks God. No, not one. Not one single person on this planet who is born a sinner, and you guys affirm original sin, is able to come to Christ on his own. Therefore, all of this must be done of grace, every bit of it, not the substance that's slowly infused by sacraments and by obedience. None of that, that Christ had to do for us what we cannot do, and then in his dying breath said, it is finished. Tetelestai. You guys say that. You guys have that in your Bible. But oftentimes in the Roman Catholic system, it's smuggled in somewhere where Protestants don't understand that they believe man is bad and they believe man is sick. But it's that semi-Pelagian view that you guys have that constantly and always wants to distort how necessary grace is, that it's absolutely pivotal to your understanding of salvation. You guys don't think salvation is as drastic as it is in the Roman system because you don't think sin is that necessarily as bad as it is. You don't actually believe that sin is totally and utterly damning, that it's touched every part of us. It's corrupted every single thing we ever think, do, say, act, desire. You guys deny that, and in the process, you have created a system of works that destroys and undercuts grace to the point that you don't think it's actually necessary, so you redefine grace, and in the process, you besmirch the work of Christ in a process that is totally and absolutely blasphemous. This is just, the Roman Catholic gospel is just a disciplined form of religious self-help. That's all it is. It's just a disciplined form of us trying to be good enough, slapping Jesus's name on it to try to sacerdotally usher ourselves in by infused grace in the kingdom of God. That's all it is. And even if it's true, it still damns us all. I keep saying that over and over. You guys need to repent. The Roman Catholic system, you have got to repent of your beliefs. You cannot believe this gospel and go to heaven. It is damning. As a matter of fact, there's, 1.3 billion of you guys within the Roman Catholic system. Yes, there are people in there that are legitimately born again. Yes, there are people in there that are saved. But you guys need to come to the real Christ with the real gospel through real faith by real grace. That's what you need. Right? The Protestant view, of course, is that we are dead in our sins, totally helpless. There is no sacerdotal component to this. I don't need to take part in some sacrament so that God finds me acceptable. I don't, because nothing will make him find me acceptable. I don't get to infuse grace at baptism. I don't get to infuse grace through confession or confirmation or the Eucharist, the Mass, the bloodless sacrifice. every single time you gather of the Messiah, because what his work did was not good enough. That's next week. You guys constantly, in every way possible, try to show that you think you can earn your salvation by taking what was started by Christ and you finishing it through sanctification and infused grace. And it's a lie. It's a lie from the pits of hell. It is. It's just a lie from the pits of hell. And I'm tired of Protestants that watch this channel, people I know and love, thinking that we are just a little bit different. We are not different. You're pagans. The Roman Catholic system is paganism with a Christian veneer over it. It is just paganism. The Protestant view is that we cannot do a single thing for ourselves, that we are utterly helpless. That we are so in the grave like Lazarus, spiritually, like he was physically. We are so dead and unresponsive that we can do nothing whatsoever of any kind of merit or salvific effort to save ourselves. And because of that, we have no leg to stand on. Christ either does it all or does none of it. Ultimately, if he does it all, we can be saved. If he does most of it, we're damned, which is where you guys are at. That's the Roman Catholic system in a nutshell, is that Christ did most of it. You've got to finish the work. You've got to fill up what is lacking. And you guys twist the scriptures to try to make sure that's very clear and abundant to everybody, is that you deserve some of the credit because you did some of the work. You're infusing grace. Oh, yes. Oh, sure. But that's because of your obedience. Oh, that's because of how good you are. That's it besmirches not only what Christ has done, but it besmirches the idea that grace is not actually good, that grace is not grace. It's just leeway. It's a long leash. That's what grace is to you guys. It's a long leash. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's not good news. Your gospel in the Roman Catholic system is not good news. I pray that God saves some of you guys who watch this. You guys who show up so angry in my comment section and you guys who you want to act like you're so smart. I don't care about you being smart. And I don't care about me being smart. I'm not making this video because you're smart or I'm in some rebuttal with you because I want to prove I'm smart. I'm making this video because there are people deceived thinking you guys and your system is Christianity of a different stripe. It's not. The Reformation is not over, and it's not over simply because you guys have not come around to the true gospel. I wish the Roman Catholic Church was totally dismantled and every single one of the people in the priests, the bishops, the archbishops, the pope, friars, whoever, I wish every single one of you guys would come to the saving knowledge of Christ in a true, freeing grace, really grace-saturated gospel, not for licentiousness, not to do terrible works, not to be so fixated on how to behave and so you can abuse grace, none of that. None of all the things you guys accuse us of. I want you guys to go to heaven. I want to see you guys there. And no matter what disagreements we have here, I want us to be in heaven together because I want you guys to be saved. But the gospel that y'all believe is a first-class ticket to hell. It is. The fourth point, grace ordained, right? The Catholic view, I've already touched on this. The Catholic view is that man chooses to believe in Christ and applies those seven sacraments to himself, right? Baptism, confirmation, last rites towards the end, right? Marriage and extreme unction, things like that, right? You know, the concept of the Mass and the concept of indulgences, right? With the cold open, the concept of indulgences, right? All of this is that grace has to be something you cooperate with. Listen, if you have to cooperate with grace, it's not grace, nor is it good news. It's just works-based righteousness. And you are just like every other religion, except you claim, which makes it far worse, to apply Jesus's name to it as if somehow he sanctions this, as if somehow he's okay with your pope, as if somehow he's okay with this priestly absolution system, as if somehow he's okay with your non-canonical books, as if somehow he's okay with being re-sacrificed every Lord's Day over and over and over and put to open, fresh shame and misery in front of the face of onlooking fucking sinners, that you would take your knife and you would sacrifice him in a bloodless sacrifice over and over and over again ad infinitum, ad nauseum. And you think somehow that glorifies Christ. It does no such thing. It does no such thing. There's no peace to be had. Man cannot choose. And by the way, I'm being totally straight with you guys when I'm saying all of this. Again, I'm frustrated. I'm angry, but I'm mainly passionate about the fact that the stuff that you guys hold to is damnable. Who would want to believe your gospel in the Roman Catholic system? Who would want to believe that? It's of no good to anyone except to make you feel good. And it's trash, and you know it because of the concept of purgatory. It's trash, and you know it. You should not have to go to purgatory if what Christ did is good enough. Point blank, period. Now, you guys, you know, hop in the comments. Be respectful, but hop in the comments. Love to hear from you. I'd love to hear that you repented because of this video and that you believed on the true Jesus. But you guys double and triple down on this hot garbage. It's just trash. It's just trash. And I admit to you that not only do I think it's wrong, but I fundamentally, with all of my heart, hope it's wrong. I believe the Bible teaches a different and a much better gospel, regardless of how people abuse it, because I know that's what you're sitting there thinking. Oh, license to sin. Oh, these people with all these denominations. Oh, their ability to constantly pervert the gospel and the grace of Christ. I know that's what you think. But someone's abuse of the true gospel and the true gospel itself have nothing to do with one another. You guys need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for full, final, and total salvation. Okay? Man cannot choose, and therefore every bit of this is done by grace, the real grace, saving grace, where Christ does it all because I can do none. That's grace. Like it or lump it, that's grace. Deal with it. That's what the Bible says about it. And guess what? That's good news. The gospel, the real one, is good news. It's the best news you've never heard, Roman Catholic. It's the best news I have ever heard. And I want you to hear it and believe it. This is not a theological disputation. This is not Leipzig. This is not the Diet of Worms. This is not the Council of Trent. It's not the Council or the Diet of Augsburg. It's none of that. It's not evangelicals and Catholics together. It ain't none of this. All right? It's none of that at all. It is simply that I'm pleading with you in a frustrated manner, but I'm pleading with you to be saved. I am pleading with you that the Holy Spirit would regenerate you. You guys make a mockery out of regeneration and justification. You make a mockery out of sanctification. And then you flat out insult and deny the idea of glorification because you add purgatory into it. Like somehow that spruces any of this garbage up. It doesn't. It is trash. This whole system is oppressive. It's meant to destroy you. Roman Catholic, if you haven't turned the video off, and I know this is way, way longer, but if you haven't turned this video off, please hear me. Please fall on your knees and beg the true Jesus, the effective, efficacious Jesus who needs no priest, who needs no intercessor, who needs no high priest, no pope, no vicar, none of that. No re-sacrifice, the one who is all sufficient, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that he would save you, that he would save you. And he will. He will. The bottom line is this. The Roman Catholic view of grace, charis, is so damnable because I wrote six things down that it does, as if I've not illustrated some of these. Rome's view of man is too high and their view of God is too low, right? Again, we pull down God from his pedestal to try to lift ourselves up. That's the whole point of the Roman gospel, is because we have to make man accountable and culpable because grace is scandalous. So we have to change the definition of it and change how it works out. And it's that trickle drip into your soul. Okay. Number two, Rome's view of grace is too mechanical and works are too effective. The idea that this whole system, you can do this and push this number and pull this slot and pull this lever and punch in this code and you get all this grace that's unlocked. It's ridiculous. The whole Christian life is by grace. You are saved by grace. You are saved into grace, and you are saved unto grace. Grace is how you do everything in your life. And I don't need to infuse it into my soul with works of absolution. I don't need works of sanctification. I don't need all of the seven sacraments to try to infuse grace into my heart so that I can be more effective in walking out my sanctification. I don't need all of those things. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying me by the power of the word, the fellowship with the saints, and my fellowship with the Lord. All of those disciplines are important, but it's done by grace, which is just shorthand for it's done by God, and it's done by what Christ has done on my behalf. I am utterly helpless. You guys believe in the Roman Catholic system that you can do something you absolutely can't do. It's because you believe that works are effective and you believe grace is mechanical. It's not. Grace is not something you control. That's the whole point of grace. If I can control grace, it's not grace anymore. Who would have thunk it? Rome's view of sin is too flippant and salvation is too pathetic. And again, I mean all of this. Your view, the Roman Catholic view, Protestant, and if you're still watching this, the Roman Catholic view has a view of sin that is just absolutely a wink at sin. You can say all you want about, you know, indulgences and works of contrition and confession and extreme unction, and you can talk about the repository of merit. You can talk about all that stuff all you want. But ultimately, you don't believe that sin is absolutely a death sentence. The fact that you make a difference between, you know, venial sins and mortal sins is just flat out ridiculous. Like somehow some sins are not going to damn you to an eternity in hell. Like there are layers based upon venial and mortal sins of hell, purgatory, all of that. Golly, Dante's Inferno and Purgatorio and all that stuff, man. It's nonsense. You need to shave all of the fat off of your gospel and trim it down to the biblical standard of what the gospel says and deal with it. It's good news. Try it for once. Try it for once instead of oppressing people. Golly, the Roman Catholic system is just evil. It's demonic in its origin and its application. It is. Rome's view of hell is capricious and judgment is not severe. You guys, yeah, you believe in hell, but you believe in purgatory. And yes, I know, I'm not dumb. I know that people in purgatory are not sent going to go to hell. They're people that need to be purged. But again, that's because you're flying a big banner in the face of Christ saying you weren't good enough. Your work was not efficacious enough. It didn't go far enough. That's what you're doing. You are constantly and always finding ways to horn in on his glory and say what he did was great. It just wasn't good enough. That's unacceptable. I feel laughable even saying this. It's unacceptable. But the people that watch this channel and the people in all these churches, again, all these different denominations all over, they don't know any of this stuff. You know, average surveys that I saw the other day said that most Protestants, like 70% of Protestants, think and have theological views that are very much in line with Roman Catholic views. And you guys, again, if you're a Catholic and you're watching this video and you're probably boiling hot mad by this point, but if you're watching this video, you probably go, well, good. Finally, they've come over to Rome. Finally, they've come back home. Finally, they've stopped protesting. And finally, they've rejoined the actual saints and the communion of Christ's church. And again, my point for the third or fourth time is this, even if that is true, we're all damned. We're all damned. You lied to people about the outcome in the Roman Catholic system. If God is not holy, like the Bible says he is, and which you assert, we're all screwed. And if he is holy, your gospel doesn't go far enough because it ain't good enough. And if sin really is the soul that sins shall surely die, and we were dead in our trespasses and sins, no matter how much time you spend in purgatory, it'll never matter, and you won't go up at the end of it. You're going to go down. There is no such thing as purgatory. You guys need to repent of that too. Rome's view of Christ is impotent and sacraments too lofty. Say by grace alone, sola fide, sola gratia, sola Christus. That's next week. I'm going to table that till next week. Last one, Rome's view of work of Christ, the work of Christ, is incomplete. So you've got an impotent Christ as an impotent Savior, impotent King, impotent Priest, and that he needs someone else as the vicar of Christ to stand in his place with the lie, the absolute lie of the Pope and papal succession coming from Peter. Matthew 16, 18, you guys quote that all the time. It's so obnoxiously stupid. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Again, this is not an in-house debate. You guys need to repent. That's why I'm being so harsh about this. I am never this harsh about anything. I have all these videos on this channel demonstrating different views and trying to be respectful and understanding, because those are okay to disagree on. You guys cut the gospel right to the quick and core. You guys shave the gospel into nothingness. You boil it down with 1,000 qualifications. It's time to come home. Not home is not the Catholic Church. It's time to come home to the Bible. It's time to believe what it says. You are in rebellion to God in the Roman Catholic system. You are in rebellion to the gospel. And if you believe the true gospel, the grace alone gospel, faith alone gospel, Christ alone, scripture alone, glory of God alone gospel, join our church. Join any Protestant church that teaches the Bible, believes the Bible is orthodox, God forbid, believes the actual gospel, the one that's good news, by the way, not the one that's bad news. Abandon Rome and all of her spiritual harlotry. Abandon all hope is your other option. For you Protestants who are working and watching this, thank you for watching this. I will see you on the next episode. I hope that this has been beneficial to you. Understand, we're playing for all the marbles. We cannot cozy up and make our bed and have bedfellows with heretics and heresy. We need to love heretics as much as it's possible, and we need to ultimately call them to repentance with the true gospel, the one that actually saves and the one that actually is good news. The euangelion, the good news of the gospel, it's not good news if grace isn't grace. Love you guys. See you hopefully later in the week. Share this video if it's been effective and useful to you guys. Please listen to the words I'm saying, not just the tone, as I've gotten very worked up. Please hear the words. Please understand what's going on. And please also share, like, subscribe, and comment. And as always, the goal, whether it be through Ephesians 2:8 and other references today, has been on this channel to apply the word of God to the people of God for the glory of God. I love you guys. I'll see you on the next video.